All right, away we go. I want you to just breathe in the energy, the magic, the enthusiasm, the excitement. It is hump day. We got you covered. We're going to make the next couple hours fly by here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm Bill Ryder. Appreciate you listening to the program. Remember, you can always listen on the free Odyssey app. I tend to listen to the other shows live or podcast version, but yesterday I free Odyssey app this thing because Mike Samter, executive producer of the Zach Gelb Show, hosted the first hour. Got a little joke out of the gate, and it's the Odyssey app's cool. It's got a rewind button. It's a great way. It's free to listen to the program, listen to any of the shows here on the network. Nice job, Big Mike. 888-710-4476 is the phone number. 888-710-4ISM. The dapper update anchor, Andrew Bogish, will give us some headlines, let us know what's buzzing out there in about 30 minutes. David Sampson will be on the program from Nothing Personal with David Sampson, former president of the Miami Marlins. We'll talk a lot with Ryan Hickey, Ryan_Hickey, the number 3. I'm on their sports writer, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. It's a start, bench, cut Wednesday. We'll do buy or sell as we always do. I put in the old show tweet, the old, hey, I'm on the radio, what I was going to talk about, and I put Nepo Dame. You might go, what is Nepo? It's the new name for Notre Dame. And in the wake of the college football playoff committee official rankings, we will get into why Notre Dame got a little bit of a Nepo bump. Notre Fame, if you want to call them that. Pretty well done by the committee. Pretty obnoxious where the Fighting Irish land. We'll talk about that. Clone dogs. You know what? I'm out on clones. I'm just, Tom Brady can do what he wants. We'll discuss it in 20 minutes. Let me just give you a little bit of a news flash here. Spoiler alert. I am out on clones. I'm in on aliens. I'm in on time travel, alternate universes. Sure, AI is going to take over. Okay. Hello, machine overlord. How you doing? I'm Bill. Happy to work for you. I am out on clones. I'm out on clone people. I'm out on clone dogs. What is wrong with Tom Brady? We will discuss that later. And maybe Ryan's into it. Maybe Hickey loves clones. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you do. Do you love clones? You know what? Who cares? Let's break the third wall. I heard Sam to bring Stu on yesterday in the first segment. What, you like clones? Clones up or down?
Down. Down on clones.
Yeah, good. Okay. You're still my guy. That was a trick question. I have a button I push, and Manny was going to run in and forcibly take you out of the studio. So, yesterday was the trade deadline in the NFL. There were some moves. There were some turns to the screw that are somewhat significant, not game changers. One headline-grabbing move went down, and it reinforced that the Jets are selling. Great, cool, they're garbage, they're not very good, it makes sense. The biggest move they made, the biggest move of the day, was Sauce Gardner going to the Colts for a King's ransom. It was a hefty price. And I don't know that it works. Let me go further. It's not going to work, I don't think. Two first-round picks is a lot to give up for any player if you're the Colts. Sauce Gardner is certainly someone who can address defensive needs that Indianapolis has. The Colts are 7-2. They have a reason to believe, even if I think it's a little overstated, that they can be a contender this year, that there's a window they can push their way through. And maybe most concerning of all, in going out and getting Sauce, in landing the highest-paid cornerback in football. Remember, 4-year, $120 million extension is what he signed this past offseason. The biggest concern for me is that giving away this next summer's and 2027's first-round draft picks, wherever they fall, going all in for Gardner, committing that kind of cap space to a very talented player, means that obviously you think you can win now, and that means you believe your quarterback is capable of being the guy right now. You are all in on Daniel Jones as much as you're all in on Sauce or anybody else in that team. And that scares the living hell out of me if I'm Indianapolis. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's probably a mistake. I think it's probably one of these rash, what do we do, how do we push through the surprise season moves and moments. I think it's almost absolutely a reaction to the copycat fact of the NFL. Remember, It's relatively new. It's still somewhat unheard of, might be a stretch, but somewhat uncommon for there to be big trades in the NFL at the NFL trade deadline. This isn't Major League Baseball or the NBA where it happens a lot, but the last few years, and this narrative has been out there, do you know what team has been really engaged at the trade deadline? Do you know what team has gotten a lot of buzz this year and years past? Or they're going to be involved. They're going to make moves. It's the Chiefs. And so some of this might also be, if you're the Colts or any other AFC team, any team in the NFL, it's, oh, those guys keep winning. They're making moves. Maybe we should too. And I think that in a lot of ways, Indianapolis got pushed into a bold decision that's going to fail. Here's the thing. Good. Let's fail big. I want to be wrong. Cut the tape. Roll the tape. When the Colts make the AFC Championship game, put it out there. What freezing cold takes can put me perennially for the fourth take of my career, just again on a loop. I love the fact that Indianapolis went for it. I love the fact that they've earned the right to, I think, reach a little bit and give away too much of their future for one guy, talented though he is. I love the fact they've got some cojones. They do. They've got some guts. They've got some vision. They've got some confidence. And it's based on competence, even if I think it's the wrong decision. This is the opposite of the Dallas Cowboys. We make fun of Micah Parsons. We talked over the weekend, Monday Night Football. Look at the Cowboys. They traded Parsons. Why did they trade Parsons? Because he wanted to get paid what he was worth. And they gave him away for a couple first-round picks. The Colts went and got a guy. They got to pay a similar amount of money relative to his position, right? Market value to his position. The most expensive player in his position in football. And they had to give up the two first-round picks. It's the opposite of the Dallas Cowboys move. Just because you go out there in your line of work and in your world and you find the person who's the biggest moron you can, you go, I'm going to do the opposite, doesn't guarantee you're going to be successful. But it isn't a bad strategy. In the details here, there's a lot of reasons to think that maybe that I can be wrong. And I'm going to say it again. I don't think it's going to work. I said this yesterday before they went and got Sauce Gardner at the trade deadline. I don't think that you can make an AFC Championship game, regardless of the matchups or the luck, regardless of whether it's down the AFC a little bit this year. And let's see if it's down enough, because the Ravens have been given some life. But whatever. I don't think you're making it that deep in the postseason in the AFC with Daniel Jones as your quarterback. I just don't. We saw over the weekend what happens when they get behind, when they're not able to run the ball the way that they want, when the opposing team is able to put up some points, when you need your quarterback to move the chains and you know, go if not blow for blow, at least stay in the ring for 7 or 8 rounds. What happens is you get bloodied, you get a black eye, you turn the ball over, and you look like a totally different kind of fighter than you have over the rest of the year. I don't believe in that quarterback at that level, so I don't think it works. But the counter-argument's compelling. And again, I can disagree with people and respect the hell out of them if they make good points and they do it from a place of some courage. And that's Indianapolis. It's the opposite of what the Cowboys are about. Colts passing defense is 26th in football. That's brutal, obviously. And what they've got in a two-time All-Pro at that position, in a defensive back who literally can be a game-changer, is somebody, since he entered the league, has allowed, when quarterbacks challenge him, has allowed a 50.3% completion percentage. That is an astounding number. That means that when Sauce Gardner is challenged by a quarterback, and that quarterback throws at the receiver in his zone, that basically half of the time, it's an incomplete pass. And that is, you're not even a backup quarterback in the National Football League at that percentage. That is so brutal and so bad and so awful that over the course of a career, if you had to play Sauce every day, you're maybe in the Canadian Football League. Does that thing still exist? Is the XFL still out there on Fox in June? I'm not even sure. The guy's astounding. He ranks number one for all defensive backs in allowing the least amount of separation this season. And if you want to kind of get into the stats and the numbers, he has 6 passes defended, and what, 20 tackles in 20 touches in 6 games. But what a guy like Sauce actually does is he limits and shrinks the field. If you have Chris Jones or Micah Parsons or a player that can get after the quarterback, what they do is they reduce the amount of time that guy has to operate with the entirety of the field. You go and you get those guys. Chris Jones, we've seen in the playoffs. I think Parsons can do this with the Packers. It's why I'm still really high on them. They can be game wreckers. They can be. What a Sauce Gardner does, and there aren't many of these guys out there. There's a lot of people that think they can do this. He reduces the size of the field. He shrinks his zone. In a lot of ways, he eliminates limited space already. And so Sauce Gardner is one of the few players on earth who can go out there and put massive pressure on the quarterback, even though he's nowhere near the quarterback. That is really hard to do. I still think it's too stark of a price. I still think it's too much. I still think it's not going to work. I still think that Daniel Jones is the problem. I still think the fact that you are committing to Jones as your quarterback for the foreseeable future is an absolute and total mistake. I think he's not good enough. And I think when you get into these games where you have to beat teams like the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Patriots, right? If I'm taking the Colts seriously because of their record, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt for going out and spending what they spent to get this player because they're 7-2, I've got to give the Patriots the exact same level of love and respect. So let's put them on the list. When those games come down, the problem's going to become, I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be good enough. I don't think you're going to be able to run your way, offensive line your way, to victories against those teams more than one time. And one time I'm probably a little skeptical. But certainly to win multiple games to make an AFC championship game and compete, I don't think you're there. And you can't give up. You cannot give up two first-round picks. I don't care what you're doing, who you're after, for any player, if it doesn't make you a contender. It's wrong. It's ineffective. It can't happen. Do I think that the Packers and the price they paid for Micah Parsons in the offseason, start of the season, when the Cowboys had that weird standoff, was worth it? I do. I think the Packers can win the Super Bowl. I don't know if they will. I think they can make the NFC Championship game. I'm not sure that'll happen, but they are at that level. Do I really believe with Daniel Jones that the Indianapolis Colts are there? I don't. But I love the fact they had some guts, and they went for it, and they were bold, and they saw talent. And not just talent. I mean, this is a clear need. They are really bad defensively against the pass. That is a fairly important thing to be able to stop in modern football, to say nothing of the AFC. And you're going to have to go through Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or all of the above if you're going to make a Super Bowl. You just are. So while I don't love it, I respect the hell out of it. And it reminds me of two things. Fortune does favor the bold. And in that truth, a lot of times we don't get that until it's already success. And the Cowboys are morons because it is sort of a juxtaposition. Now that's my take. We have a resident Colts expert. We got a guy who's done a great Colts podcast. We have somebody, he told me this recently, who's a people displeaser. Maybe he said pleaser. I wasn't listening very closely, but he's got strong views on people. So I'll get Ryan's take on whether, because this is his team, right? Let's get a fan's emotional take from a very smart sports guy. And then let's talk about why Nepo Dame shouldn't be rated 10th in America next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Mark Sanchez not only made it as a rookie, made back-to-back AFC championship games with Sexy Rexy. They really towed that line, but didn't get it done. Yeah, I did it.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. We will get to Nepo Dame in a minute. Very put out with the place Notre Dame now inhabits in the official college football rankings. It's cool. They came out yesterday. It's interesting and exciting. I don't need an explanation for why Ohio State is ahead of Indiana and A&M. I know why they're the best team in football. How about an explanation on Notre Dame? We'll get that in a moment. But let's welcome in Ryan Hickey. I don't even know if Ryan is happy or sad about this. Are you a people pleaser or a people displeaser? Good morning. I totally tuned out when you were talking earlier.
Good morning, Bill. Well, I aim to be a people pleaser, but you usually let them down, so it ends up being a people displeaser.
You're a people pleaser. Okay.
Yeah.
People pleaser.
But not very good at that job.
No, you're great at it. You're amazing.
Ends up being a people displeaser, so.
You're a people pleaser on this show.
Definitely.
Are you pleased, people pleaser, with the Colts spending 26, 27 first-round pick to go get a remarkable defensive back? Sauce Gardner's a talent, right? He is a great player. And I'm happy for him to get out of the Jets. I mean, it's basically Andy Dufresne getting out of Shawshank Redemption. Wherever you land, it's pretty great. Do you like it for your Colts?
I'm very torn. When I first got the news, I was very excited. They needed a corner, as you outlined. Their pass defense stinks. And Sauce is a good young corner, still a lot of time left, been an all-pro. And then I saw the return, two first-round picks, and that took away a lot of the joy because, like you, Daniel Jones has been better than I thought, but still, it's a small sample size. If he stinks, if he gets exposed in the playoffs, you have no or less now flexibility to go find the guy, whether it's in the draft or using those draft picks to trade for a quarterback. Like, you're now all in.
You're in on, right.
And that's a that was huge my takeaway. Gamble.
Huge. And so, like, I think my general view, I think, is the right one. Shocker. A guy who has a show called Writer Than You believes his take is correct. I like the boldness, man. I love the guts behind it. I respect people that bet on themselves. I have admiration for those that can just put all the chips in the middle of the table. I just don't think the bet's going to work. Hope it does. Hope I'm wrong. Not anti-Colts. Get the logic. But for the reasons you just outlined, it's Daniel Jones.
And look, I tried not to overreact on Monday, right? After the Steelers game, that was a bad defense. They had six turnovers. Daniel Jones played the worst game of the season. But it's also nine games in. Are we going to, like, if we start to see more of that, right? If Sunday was maybe the beginning, not a one-off, now you're really, like, Sauce is great, but what's a great corner going to do if you have no quarterback?
Guys have bad outings, and this gets to the crux of it. The Colts look at Daniel Jones, and at a minimum, they see a quarterback on a team that is a legit contender, right? Whatever their assessment of Jones as in a vacuum, they think the Colts are a contender, and so they're going for it. Like it, get it. Some of us see Daniel Jones on a would-be contender and go, what just happened against the Steelers is just a preview of what's going to happen when the games matter. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. I'm not sitting here telling you they're going to finish 10-7, right? They're not going to be 9-8. I just worry when they get to the big boy games. When you're playing, all right, let me just do this with you. Even with Sauce, right? Even with Sauce, just really quick in a vacuum, win or lose in the playoffs. Chiefs.
Lose.
Bills.
Probably lose.
Ravens at home, if you're in Indianapolis. I think it's lose, dude.
The Ravens defense stinks. I would probably
right
agree,
now,
but
it
I
stinks.
Think it's
does it is it gonna stink against is it gonna stink against Daniel Jones?
Maybe not.
I'm not trying to. I'm just saying, like, what's your first instinct tell you?
Probably lose.
Right. It's certainly not a lock by any stretch of the imagination. Denver.
They could beat. I mean, they already beaten Denver. They could beat them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Although
I think it would depend where that game is, too. It would depend where that game is in the playoffs. Just doing it's different in the postseason. Who am I missing here? Who am I missing here?
Steelers. I mean, I know they just laid an egg, but don't worry about the Steelers.
Yeah, no, you could beat the Steelers. But that's kind of the bottom of the barrel. All right.
I mean, you look at the rest of the games. They play the Falcons this week in Germany. Falcons stink. But they're at KC after a bye week in a few weeks.
They're going to lose that game.
You're
the Chiefs
at Seattle.
Have to win that game.
Agreed.
The Chiefs have to win that game.
You're at Seattle. You host the 49ers.
That's a tough game.
You play the Texans twice. I think they're kind of dead. You play the Jaguars twice. So they're like, you have the first half of the schedule is pretty easy for the Colts. You're going to find out now going into the
wait. Yeah.
I know we're talking about this in the playoffs, how they're going to do, but these games, there's outline. We're probably going to know based on how Daniel Jones' offense plays in these games against Seattle, against Kansas City.
Too late.
They have a chance or not? Right. Like, you'll know going into the postseason what the answer is going to be.
Are you happy with 11-6? You are, right? You get four more wins. You beat the Texans twice. You beat somebody else on that schedule. You gave
and play
me
the Falcons this week. They should beat them.
So those chalk those up as three wins, and you get at least one more win. You're at 11. I mean, 7-2. You're not necessarily seeding 11-6, but I think 11-6 you take, and then anything else is a bonus. You get to 12 or 13. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Texans twice, Jaguars twice, Seahawks, 49ers.
It's a good team.
Chiefs, and
okay
then
team,
Falcons in Germany, which is, you never know. Like,
oh,
12
Falcons
wins,
Germany
I would be...
To close the year.
No, this week?
This weekend, right.
This week, before the bye.
You'll win that game. You'll win that game. It doesn't matter
they
what the
should,
game
but it's also one of those things. I don't know. You go to the international,
no,
you never
don't,
know.
Don't go to the beer tent.
The
don't go to the beer tent. Don't have the sauerkraut, as good as it is. Import some pizza. You're going to be okay. Can I rant here? Can I give you my rant about Notre Dame? I know this is hard for you because you were a Notre Dame fan, but then you stopped being a Notre Dame fan. Are you one of those guys when you date someone, you break up with them for someone else? You hate them? Do you hate Notre Dame now because you broke up with them for Penn State, which doesn't look like a great choice, by the way? Notre Dame looking good over there. What was I thinking?
I don't hate Notre Dame. Like, I just feel
you're indifferent.
Yes. Whether they win, great. They lose, great. I don't root for them. I guess I like to see them win, but I like to see my family happy, but.
I'm going to call them Nepo Dame. Because this is the Nepo principle, okay? This is Big Daddy Warbucks, Daddy Dame, whatever, on the college football playoff committee, just pushing Notre Dame above where they belong. Here's the thing about Nepo kids, okay? I've worked with a lot of them. I'm friends with a lot of them. A lot of them are talented. It isn't what your daddy does. It's whether you get a head start that isn't fair. I don't mind Notre Dame having a chance to work their way into the college football playoff. You're telling me they're 10th and Miami's 18th? Friendly reminder, they have the same record, and checks notes, Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head. How is Nepo Dame 8 spot? They shouldn't be 1 spot ahead of Miami. Give me a break, dude. Notre Dame's best win is against number 19 USC, which may not even be a good win. We're not even sure yet. USC gets to move up to 19 because they beat Nebraska, who hasn't beaten a ranked team in 131 years. They are the Fighting Irish, Nepo Dame. And by the way, I like Notre Dame. I went to a Catholic school. I'm Catholic. Like, it's not really my team, but I generally, like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, cool, Notre Dame does well. But not Nepo Dame. Make them earn it. And this is the problem with, I love the expanded college football playoff, but I've made this point before, Ryan, it's true. It's you're actually going to get 11 teams in and then Notre Dame if it's at all possible. If it's at all possible, they're gonna squeeze Notre Dame in. This is about the brand, not about the actual football. Notre Dame are ahead of Texas and Oklahoma. And look, take your temperature on Texas and Oklahoma. Your mileage may vary. All three of those teams have 2 losses, but OU and Texas actually have better wins. Texas beat Vandy, who dropped a lot. They were 10. They're 16. All right, fine. We'll call them 16. That's a good win. OU has got wins against Michigan and Tennessee, 21-25 right now. Why is Notre Dame 10? Because they're Nepo Dame. Because they're given a little bit of push ahead. Because they want this school and the brand and the money and the following and the prestige and the gold helmets to be a part of the college football playoff. And in a world where you should have to earn it, where we don't even know where Memphis is ranked, where you get a non-power four school, and excuse me, the top-ranked 5th conference team in. It's Memphis right now. They're not even in the top 25, and we don't know where they are. I guess they just keep going till they get. I wonder if they just picked at a certain point. Like, man, we spent so much energy faking Notre Dame's 10. Memphis, I don't know. We got to have dinner. It's drinks time. Let's just for sure Memphis. Let's go. Most of this works for me. Most of this makes a lot of sense, and there's a lot of time. The problem is for Notre Dame. Now you've got a huge advantage. You're 8 spots ahead of Miami. They have handed Notre Dame the opportunity to leapfrog schools that shouldn't leapfrog them. They've handed Notre Dame the chance to be ahead of a school that actually beat them. Ohio State 1, I'm here for it. Indiana 2, yes. A&M 3, great. Alabama 4, fine. Georgia 5, makes sense. Ole Miss, BYU, Texas Tech, Oregon, Notre Dame, round things out. It pisses me off. Nepo Dame. They're not the 10th best team in America.
Can I read you the explanation from CFP Committee Chair Mac Rhodes as to why he had Notre Dame 10th?
Yeah, let's call him Big Daddy.
Okay. This is, again, I'll read it verbatim here. Quote, I think it starts with 2 losses, total of 4 points against 2 very, very good teams. One of them ranked 3rd in the country, the other 18th. We talked about, I think, early on defensively, maybe they weren't as good as we thought they would be, but certainly the most recent, it seems like they've been much, much better defensively. 6 straight wins, you look at their backfield, probably the best backfield in the country when you think about the 1-2 punch. Going into the Southern Cal game, they lost their starting center for the year, and they were able to overcome that and run for a bunch of yards against Southern Cal. When we look at the tape, we think Notre Dame's a really solid football team, both sides of the ball.
I mean, that is a lot of words. And if you really want to parse things, you want to get into the details on a tiebreaker, right? Ty goes to the Nepo kid. Okay, like Ty goes to the runner, right? Ty goes to the Nepo school. Nepo Dame. Cool. There's no clear indication of a better football team when all else is equal, like, you know, Ryan, a record, than head-to-head. By the way, I think I'd still be put out, but not as put out if Miami was 11 or 12. But they made sure Miami has no... Because if you give Miami the credit that they deserve relative to Notre Dame, then they can leapfrog Notre Dame. And if you start to talk about Miami as a college football playoff-bound team as it stands now, these things can change, there's games to come, then it undermines Notre Dame's credibility. The distance between Notre Dame and Miami is entirely about trying to make sure my Notre Dame is in the mix. They're looking for reasons, which I find incredibly, incredibly obnoxious. Very quickly, we got to get to Mr. Andrew Bogish. I find this Tom Brady. There's a story out that came out yesterday that Tom Brady's current dog is a clone of his former dog, that they took blood from the former dog and used a company. I think he's a part of it. And they cloned his dog. I've never seen Pet Sematary. I love Stephen King books and movies. I just haven't seen that one. So I don't know what that's about, really, other than like animals get people. But this feels like a horror movie in the making. It's creepy. Don't you think it's creepy?
Extremely. I don't like it. It feels like weird. It feels very weird.
When I got out of college, I remember DA was very nice, made fun of me about this when I was a guest on a show when I started here. When I got out of college, I'm like, oh, I never had a cell phone. We had a cell phone, and I never had my own pet. And I went to get a cat. Like, I'll just get a cat for a couple years, right? Because like, they wouldn't allow dogs. And my cat lived to be 21 years old. Ernie the cat lived to be 21 years old. Great cat. Love that cat. Cat was great, right? I could leave for a week and just leave a huge. This is why dudes you should have cats. Just leave a huge thing of food in the corner and leave the toilet seat up. Cat's fine. Cat lived 21 years on the toilet water occasionally. Love that cat. Cat's gone. Happens. Cat heaven. Kids are listening. Kitties and cat heaven. Ernie's in cat heaven. I think I wouldn't be able to sleep if a clone of that cat, like, you know, jumped on the bed to wake me up in the morning to get some food or whatever. A clone of my cat? What are you talking about? That is crazy. That is insanity. Get a different cat. Get a different dog, Tom.
To that point, there's no emotional connection, right? Like, you can't just pretend this is the same. You know, if you cloned Ernie the cat,
it's a different cat.
It's still a different cat.
I mean, it's creepy as hell. I don't even know what. Right? I don't want to get into the sort of philosophy of this. It's the same cat who doesn't know me the same way.
Right, the memories are not there.
No, they're not.
Also, the dog is a different name. Is that weirder? Does that add to the weirdness, or is it less weird?
Did he name it similar name or same range?
I think it was
Luna. Luna Kona? Luna.
And now it's like Junie. I don't know the origin for...
I don't. Yeah. I mean, nothing. None of it's okay. Not, just get a different dog, dude.
Go to the same breeder.
Or not.
Same litter, whatever.
My Ernie the cat, you know... He went to kitty heaven about 3 years ago. We had another cat, Graham the cat. He bit it, unfortunately, a couple years ago. Love that cat. He did. I love that cat. He gone. And then my wife and kids talked me into two more cats, which, shocker, I'm like, you all have to do the kitty litter and the food, and I don't want them anywhere in my room. I don't want them near me. You want to know how that story ended? We got two new cats. The kids love the cats. They're different cats. You can meet new cats. This is the thing, is like Tom Brady is so impressive in so many ways, but I question everything about him now. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's got that, but I don't even want to listen to him on Fox anymore. Every time I hear him call a play, I'm like, whatever. You know, it would be a great point, but that guy cloned a creature to put in his house. I'm out. Bring back Greg Olson.
Do you think he drops a clone reference this week? On the Daddy broadcast, clones. Like, oh, man, that offense, that play was cloned from, you know, back in my day. We ran that same play.
You ever seen Multiplicity? No, you haven't, because it's 50 years old. Michael Keaton, he clones himself 50 times, but the clones keep getting worse and worse and worse until one of them's a total moron, like a copy of a copy of a copy. I mean, I'm just saying. Tom's a lot of places at once. That's all I'm saying. Don't clone your animals, people. Just, I don't want to be judgy, but this doesn't feel like judgment. This is it's like it's not judgy to say brush your teeth. It's not judgy to say if you're going to ride the subway, please put on deodorant. It's not judgy to say don't clone creatures and put them in your house. Like I just don't do it.
I agree with all three of those.
Do you think he sits there and tells the dog about his clone? Like, you know, hey, Kona, hey, Junie, Lona was like, let me tell you about you. I mean, what is he saying to that animal? Remember the time we went walking to the park 12 years ago?
I have so many questions. What's the point?
I don't know. Seems like something they do at Nepo Dame. You know what I'm saying?
It's a Michigan man over there. Start taking them down.
That is a Michigan man. All right. Harbaugh seems like he'd have a clone animal, doesn't he?
I'm shocked he hasn't tried to clone Justin Herbert already.
He loves him so much. All right. It really bothers me. You know what doesn't bother me? Start Bench Cut, because it's a damn fine segment. It's coming up after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Build a Sports Flash sponsored by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action's even better with Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME to get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. We're roughly 6 weeks away from the college football playoff. If round one was now, we'd have Oregon, Texas Tech, Virginia, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, BYU, and Memphis, Georgia. The Tigers not in the initial top 25 revealed last night, but the bracket needs a group of five rep no matter what. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Alabama would have first round byes. Men's college hoops now number one. Purdue took care of Evansville 82-51 behind 30 points from Fletcher Lawyer. And number six, Duke beat Texas in their opener 75-60 in Charlotte. Cameron Boozer debuting with 15 points and 13 boards. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander scored 30, had 12 assists in the Thunder's 126-107 win at the Clippers. OKC now has the best start in franchise history at 8-0. And Blue Jays righty Shane Bieber, Red Sox shortstop Trevor Story reportedly declining their opt-out clauses. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I've never seen a swing sweeter than Seager's. I'm a lefty, so I kind of related to him at the plate. They're gone, and the Dodgers are just fine. I had a nice little swing, David. I should have had just count me in 94.
I'm picturing Ken Griffey Jr. when you say a nice little swing, and I'm then picturing that you and I are in media and not on the baseball field. So I'm questioning, Bill, whether your swing was actually that sweet.
Well, it was not as sweet as I thought it was, because here I am, David Sampson.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. It was a nice little sweet little swing.
It's a good song, too.
Man, you are good at the music, Ryan.
Thank you, Bill. Like I said, people pleaser. I try to play songs you like and the audience likes.
They really do. And by the way, you don't need to do the whole, like, it's so much better than D-Cell. When he was here, his music sucked. You are 20 times better. That's not necessary, okay? He had strengths, too.
We won't name those, but yes, I would agree. He had one.
I can't put in that kind of work. I can't put in that. I talked to him the other day. He says, what's up to the audience? No, he doesn't. He's about Tom, but I love that guy. All right, let's do Start Bench Cut.
It's Start Bench Cut on Writer Than You.
Would you describe me as a people pleaser? Probably no.
I don't think Pretty Daddy and People Pleaser have been put in the same sentence together.
Me.
Oh, you. I'm sorry. You. No.
I'm a Billy pleaser.
That's right.
I just try to amuse myself.
You know what? If you don't try to please yourself, who else will? No one.
You. That's why you're the producer. No, just kidding. All right, are we doing a little Start Bench Cut here?
We're doing a little Start Bench Cut, Bill.
Okay.
Let's start here. Let's keep it light to start. Start Bench Cut these dance moves at a party. The worm, the running man, or the two-step?
Ooh.
I can't really see you do any of these.
I'm going to start the running man.
Okay.
I'm going to bench the two-step. I'm going to cut the worm. I will tell you that I have two go-to moves at weddings when I've had a couple drinks in me. One is just disco. I can spin 15 times in a row and then like do the splits and come back. I got some weird disco. Ooh. If I had been born in the era of disco, I would be married to a former Vegas dancer living in a gutter in Las Vegas. I would have had this flash of greatness and then burned out.
I like
and
that.
The other, I put away the groceries. But I'll go further. I'll make the cake, I'll shop for the groceries, then bake the cake and then serve it to people on the dance floor. Oh yeah.
Now you can shop for the groceries. Do you also bag your own groceries or something?
I will bag the groceries. I literally have done dances where I go to the grocery store, buy the ingredients, take them home, pull them out, put them on the counter, make the food. It's a whole thing.
Do you like walk out the doors? You walk out the store.
I serve it to other people. I serve them the cake and the dance. Oh yeah!
Wow, that's respect to the bit. That's a lot of work right there.
Went to a place you did not anticipate.
That is correct.
Let me give you some advice, though. Can I give you some life advice?
Sure.
If you're one who likes to do disco and do the splits, make sure your suit still fits you.
It's a fair disclaimer.
St. Louis 2006 was a rough one.
Question is, after the pants inevitably split, what'd you do?
I stopped.
Okay.
And drank more.
Did you sit down the rest of the time? No, like, were the pants like, is the rep bad?
It wasn't great. I put my suit coat back on to hide it, and people were like, bro, we can see it. I'm like, cool. I was the best man, too, so I couldn't get... People were like, great speech! Rough one with the pants. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I did give a hell of a speech.
Okay, so that's what matters. People will remember that hopefully more than the split.
Lucky the split happened late so everybody, many, the only people who remember were the sober ones. Who cares what they think? Just kidding, sober people. It's all good.
Start bench. Oh, this is actually a really good question. I enjoy myself. Start good bench cut.
Yeah.
These reigning champions in terms of the best teams: Thunder, Dodgers, Florida Panthers.
I'm going to cut the Panthers.
Wow.
Not on hockey.
Jeez.
See what I did
they
there?
Went back to back.
Man, it's really difficult. That's a really good question because...
To be fair to the Panthers, they did repeat. It's tough to do.
So did the Dodgers.
Yeah. And the Thunder. So I'm just saying.
And the Thunder could win 5 of the next 6.
They haven't yet. They could. They haven't yet.
Wow. Yeah. You're a real people pleaser.
So that's it. The Panthers are cut. They're already see you later.
You know what? I got to start the Thunder and I got to bench the Dodgers because the Dodgers was the most like heroically fun, interesting championship I've seen in a long time. It was thrilling. Would have been too if the Blue Jays had won, but the Dodgers barely won. The Thunder were, and then they got some help from injury, right? Like
Halliburton.
Yeah, Halliburton going down. But I think the Thunder were a better team. Shouldn't have been a better team, but. That's a hell of a World Series. That's a very good question.
Thank you.
People,
start bench cut, Bill. These NBA players you would most want to trade for: Ja Morant.
No, thank you.
Zion Williamson, who unfortunately hurt again, out at least 7 to 10 days with a hamstring injury. By the way, Pelicans 0-6 to start the year.
Okay.
And Trae Young, who big scorer, kind of loser, and also is out now a month kinda with at least with a sprained MCL.
So you're basically hitting me with rut-row. I'm a GM. My owner says trade for one of them. I don't care which one.
That's right.
Are you ready for this?
I'm very ready.
Cut Zion.
Ooh. I think I actually agree with that.
Yeah. He's not that guy. He's not it. He pretends to be that guy when he plays, but he's not that guy. I mean, you know you're putting me in a tough spot here.
Why I love answering these or asking these questions.
I'm gonna start Ja Morant. And try really hard to hope on the plane flight from Memphis to wherever I live, he matures by about 15 years. And I'm going to bench Trae Young, which his coaches have wanted to do his entire career, but he was too talented.
All right. What's that movie when they go to space and like he like breaks the time continuum? Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, Interstellar.
Maybe you can get a little Interstellar moment. Send Ja Morant to space. He can like kind of see himself in real time.
Yeah.
And then try to, you know, come back and change.
You haven't seen that movie, have you?
No, I have. It was confusing and I didn't really like it.
You just didn't understand it.
But, you know, I'm trying. I was reaching here in the plane, maturity, going in space, going back in time, going in the future.
I liked it. I have one for you. So can I do it real quick?
Sure, please.
Yesterday, Michael Samter hosted the first hour of the Zach Gelb Show.
That's correct. Oh, boy.
It's interesting.
This is not going to start well.
So you are convicted of a crime, unfortunately. You're falsely accused, and you are sentenced to 3 months of hearing one person do a show on repeat.
Wow.
Okay. Start bench cut Stew, Samter, and the Sheep.
Wow. Ooh.
Who is I don't know his first name. Shep. I don't know what his first name is.
I will
is
cut the Sheep.
Is it Mike?
It is David.
David, sorry. So I'm gonna miss on that one.
Bill Ryder, company guy.
You're cutting the Sheep.
I will. Ooh. Is the devil I know versus devil I don't know? We heard Samter yesterday. I've not
content.
Heard Stu.
They also get punished. So they're having to produce new content.
24/7 for 3 months. Okay.
Yeah. They're doing 12 hours a day and they're repeating the 12 hours. But you're, yeah.
Oh. I'll take the chance not knowing it could be better than I think. I will start Stu.
Wow.
I will bench Samter. I will cut the Sheep.
I think I would flip. I love Stu. I think I'd flip Samter and Stu. I think Samter had a good joke to start the show yesterday. I think you'd get some humor. I think as Stu got frustrated and tired, it would just get rough.
I guess that's what I'm banking on. The more tired he gets, the more delusional he gets. Maybe it kind of lets it, like, he definitely has his guard up to start. Maybe he lets it down and maybe we get some funnier moments.
Got
maybe.
It. All right, I like what you're thinking.
Okay. Either way, I'll take a year of jail over that sentence, please.
Just put me in prison, sir. Your Honor.
General population sounds pretty
Your
good
Honor,
right now.
Is Shawshank available?
Star French Cup, Bill. The sure. best first half story in the NFL. Is it the Panthers being 5-4, the Patriots renaissance, or the Seahawks 6-2 start?
It's a great question. I'm just going to go. I think Patriots renaissance is a start. I've been pushing Vrabel for a long time. People that have listened to the show for the 7 or 8 years know I've thought he was amazing since before he got to Tennessee. I will bench just behind this the Seahawks because that's a Sam Darnold story for me, and I love what that says about him, his career, his fortitude. And I'll cut the Panthers, and I like that story. I just don't believe it that much. I believe the other two. I want to believe the Panthers, but I'm not quite there yet.
Let's finish here. First batch of the College Football Playoff rankings released.
Okay.
Right, we know a lot of changes will happen. Start bench cut these teams on the outside of the top 12 to get in to the College Football Playoff when it's all said and done.
Okay.
Texas, who still has two ranked games against top five opponents on the road at Georgia, hosting A&M to end the season. Is it Utah, ranked currently 13th? Three games left against unranked opponents, so should have a pretty easy road. And your squad, number 22, Mizzou. They
Mizzou.
Host number 3 A&M.
Start Mizzou.
They play at number 12, Oklahoma. We're starting Mizzou.
Oklahoma's a paper tiger.
Right. Okay. Frauds. Love it.
They're They're frauds.
Frauds. Look, Mizzou wins out. They're in.
They're venerable vulnerables. That was bad. Also, because I went to Mizzou. I will.
Really?
Yeah, who knew? I will. People pleaser. I will bench Utah. Schedule benefit, right? And I will cut Texas because I don't believe in Arch anymore, and Georgia is a real tough game. So is A&M. You know what's not tough? Talking with David Sampson, who doesn't think I'm Ken Griffey Jr., but will tell you all about what you need to know from the world of Major League Baseball next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. We have a treat for you. Our next guest is outstanding, former longtime president of the Miami Marlins, 2003 World Series champion, CBS Sports HQ, MLB analyst, someone who I think correctly doubted that I had the same swing as Corey Seager last time we visited, the host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson. He is David Sampson. Good morning, Mr. Sampson. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you doing? Good to talk to you.
You too, dude. I'm here in LA. I'm a Cubs fan by sort of by birth and by heritage, but I've covered the Dodgers before. I work for the radio network. I know a lot of Dodgers fans. People are obviously ecstatic here. And you kind of, when you're in a town, David, as you know, you kind of get caught up in the vibe of this town. Outside of L.A., what is your read on how good the Dodgers are or not for baseball?
You know, I think there's a lot of strange confirmation bias going on. And what I mean by that is the Dodgers win the World Series, and it just furthers people's narrative that it's an unfair playing field and that what the Dodgers are able to do, no one else can do. And I think, I'm not sure they watched the games, though a lot of people did, and the ratings were great. But the Blue Jays came about a size 8 foot away from winning, or Andy Páez not eating his vegetables and being about 2 inches shorter. So it was a tough-fought series. And my view is the Dodgers just did what you have to do to win, which is You get a lot of plays to go your way. You have depth that can carry you throughout the season. And they started something new this year. They started load management, which is secreting away pitchers during the season to make sure they're fresh for October. And that's really a focus of mine, because I think that's what you're going to see a lot of teams do going forward.
It's a really good point. David Sampson here on the show. David, I want to get into the psychology of what it is to lose a series like that, because, and you just hit on this, I could be wrong, and you know the history of the sport, I'm sure, more than I do. I cannot remember a more excruciating way to lose a closer contest in a seven-game series in any sport that I've covered or been a fan of in my lifetime. I mean, there were just the double plays in both games, the millimeter on that play at the plate. There were so many things. Mookie Betts' hit in whatever it was, Game 6. It was a great series, and it is amazing for Dodgers fans, and I think great for neutrals and heartbreaking for that Blue Jays team. To what degree does losing in the World Series the way that Toronto did potentially impact next year? Is there an impact for that team?
Yeah, it's a rough one, but I think I would draw your attention to 2001 when Luis Gonzalez hits a little flare over second base to walk off the Yankees on a blown save by Mariano Rivera in Game 7 in Yankee Stadium. That was pretty gut-wrenching for Yankees fans. But I think that so every World Series, you know, there's some great ones out there, but 25 was certainly a good one. What I would tell you is that you can't be emotional about it if you're the Blue Jays. You can't all of a sudden overpay for Bo Bichette. You can't overpay for Sir Anthony Dominguez. You just have to be smart about how you go forward with your team, because running it back never works. There'll never be a way to replicate what the Blue Jays did this year, just as every year the Dodgers can't replicate what they do. And what makes a dynasty is adjusting and getting a little lucky, getting some good bounces, and having a great core of players. Which, you know, the Yankees had and the Astros had. So is that enough to make me overpay for Bichette because that's a championship core? No, because it wasn't a championship core. And that sounds so harsh, because the Blue Jays could have won. But in fact, you're judged by the ring and not the pennant one.
David, if you were the president of that team, if you're a part of that team, could you, should you at any point take some joy, some sense of success out of what the Blue Jays did? Or is it just, it's heartbreak, it's failure, and we don't think about it as we move on?
You know, my view has always been, if you finish in second or if you finish in 30th, you lost. And that doesn't mean that you don't look at your season and say, wow, we won the pennant, that's an accomplishment. But there's teams that win 81 games that say, hey, we lost, but that was an accomplishment that we were able to outperform and get to 500. And there's teams that, so there's a lot of different ways to look at a season. The key is not to make emotional decisions based on where you finish and not to allow delusion to take over. And I'm not saying the Blue Jays didn't deserve the pennant. They did. In fact, I could make a great argument that they were the better team and that they could have and should have won the World Series. But every year is its own thing. And you cannot get stuck thinking that past years will be indicative of future results.
David Sampson, the host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, here on the show. David P. Sampson on X, longtime former president of the Miami Marlins, World Series champion, friend of the show, all-around great guy. Great podcast. Check it out, download it, watch it over on Dan Le Batard's operation. All right, so David, I know we've had this conversation before, so I apologize if we're going to be a little redundant here, but I know that people have been talking about it, tweeting at me about it. Can you just, for people who love the Dodgers or hate the Dodgers, who want, you know, changes or don't, what are the realities, what are the difficulties and challenges of trying to get, for those that want this, a cap and or a floor in baseball in a year when the CBA is up?
Well, let's talk about the major one. And the major one is you need 23 votes to do anything. So you have to find a way to get 23 owners to support a position. Then you have to get the union to support that position and to have that as part of an agreement. So there's a lot of things that have to happen. And the only way to get support for a floor is finding a way to finance the teams who can't get to a floor that would be acceptable to the players' union. Because there are quite a few teams that just can't sustain a payroll. And the union knows that, by the way. The union has the financials. They know what teams lose money and what teams don't. And so they're very aware of what's happening. But it's different to be aware of something at the negotiating table and to take a public posture. So you see a lot of posturing going on right now, and you're going to see that throughout the course of this coming year. because the agreement expires at the end of next December, which gives us about 13 and a half months of posturing. And you just have to make sure that you can tell the difference between what's being said publicly and what the reality is privately.
David Sampson, you've been asked and talked a lot about whether the Dodgers are good or bad for baseball. I asked you in this conversation. Let me ask you the same question about the Pirates. Are the Pirates bad for baseball? Is the fact that that kind of a team can exist bad for baseball, or does that misunderstand the economics of the sport?
Yeah, I don't really understand what that means, and I don't understand it in terms of the Dodgers. They're not bad for baseball, and I don't understand in terms of the Pirates. They're not bad for baseball. They seem to draft well. They seem to get players to perform, and they seem to get major pitchers. You know, let's just talk about Paul Skenes and what his ability to do every 5 days. What I think you're referring to is the fact that people don't like their owner there, Bob Nutting. But by the way, people don't like owners all over the place of large payroll teams, small payroll teams. You don't really judge by what the fans think about an owner. And in terms of the media thinking that Bob Nutting is lining his pockets, the union knows very well that Bob Nutting is not lining his pockets. So they'll talk about payroll. They'll talk about the fact that their payroll is low. But you're never going to hear the union at a private negotiating session say, by the way, Bob Nutting writes a check to himself for $50 million every year, because they know that's not the case.
Yeah, I got no problem with the owner. What I'm referring to, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is if I'm a Pirates fan, I have friends who are Pirates fans, whether it's Nutting's fault or not, Paul Skenes is great, and Paul Skenes, when this deal is up, is going to be a Yankee or a Dodger, and the notion that Pittsburgh's going to be a competitor in any consistent way in the next 10 years seems unrealistic. That's the crux of my question. Is it a problem for baseball that the economics of it, the way that it's laid out, means that there are some markets where for long numbers of years fans do not have a realistic chance of competing?
But in cap sports, there's markets like that. Like the Jets stink. And that's a cap sport and a big market. I think that you don't want to get caught making the argument that the Pirates can't win, because there's plenty of low payroll teams that win. Plenty. Look at what the Brewers did this year. Look at the Guardians, the Rays. The Royals had a great stretch. The reality is, when you are a fan of a mid-market, smaller market, smaller revenue team, you know you've got shorter windows. But by the way, the Yankees, my whole childhood went through 20 years of stinking, and they were the behemoth. So it really is about the quality of the front office and the ability to get players together who can find a way to win. And it's super hard. So I really don't differentiate between the Pirates and the Dodgers. You're right. It's likely Paul Skenes won't sign with the Pirates. But you know what? It's likely that I'm not going to take a private 747 the next time I fly to Chicago. There's just we all live different lives. And there's no necessarily not a correlation to happiness. I know plenty of rich people who are miserable, plenty of poor people who are thrilled. And so I just don't get caught up in saying, Pirates fans have it so bad.
David Sampson, let me kind of get into the weeds here a little bit on, I want to circle back to needing to get a certain number of owners to a degree to something. Let's say that a year from now, 13 months from now, or whenever a vote were to go down for seismic change or not, you're trying to get to 23 owners. How much influence does a president have on an owner? I know it's organization to organization, but when push comes to shove, who do you have to turn to get an owner to vote a certain way? Is it former players? Or do most owners just kind of, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to keep my own counsel? Do presidents have a lot of influence? Who are the decision makers when we get close on these sort of situations?
Yeah, it depends on every team, but every owner has a cabinet. Sometimes the cabinet is, a relative. Sometimes the cabinet is a friend. Sometimes the cabinet is someone in the organization below the level of president. Everybody has somebody they talk to and then make a decision. And so you have to go team by team, but Major League Baseball and the commissioner, they know who the power brokers are on each team, and they know who to talk to when they're trying to get an owner to understand what a vote should be, needs to be. Some teams you go right to the owner, some teams you go to the president, some teams you go to the GM. It really does change depending on the team.
Generally speaking, David, and I'm not referring to the Marlins, that's obviously your experience, but generally speaking, do you think it is harder to manage up with an owner or, in theory, down? I don't know what the right term is with a superstar.
Listen, it's the same in any company. It's the same where you work. It's hard to find someone who can manage up and manage down. That's why it's hard to find good managers, because they have to manage up to the front office and the owner and down into the clubhouse. But go into any sales department or marketing department. It's super hard to manage both ways, and there aren't many people who can do it. So I would say that baseball, we try to make it very mysterious, professional sports, like no one could do it. It's so different than everything else. But there's a lot of things about the business of sports that are just incredibly similar to any business.
David, let me end here. I know it's hard to prognosticate major changes in baseball, but when you look at teams who might be on the rise a little bit, maybe teams that you think could be aggressive in the offseason, whose players are on the verge of making a leap, anybody outside of the Dodgers or Blue Jays that you really like next year to perhaps make some noise, take a step forward?
I think anytime you have a mid to small market team that's trying, you know, like the Cincinnati Reds, and you've got an older owner who, you know, may be looking towards the end, you know, you think like the Castellinis in Cincinnati may try to do something as they try to see if they can grab something before, you know, it's all said and done. You always have to look to Artie Moreno, who's always willing to spend money, just doesn't know how to spend it, as a possible team that can make some noise. You always have to respect the Rays and the Brewers and what they have done and what they potentially could do, especially with the Rays with a new owner. And then, of course, you end with the Dodgers and Yankees. The Dodgers want to catch the Yankees. They want to win three in a row. They're probably more interested in winning the third than they were the second, believe it or not, because then all of a sudden you're in rarefied air. And then the Yankees, you know, not having won since 2009, there's always pressure on them. And Brian Cashman came out yesterday and said, you know, basically, we will not rest until we win. We all say that. That's page one of the playbook. But the right. Yankees always have a pressure to do something.
David Sampson, appreciate you, pal. Thank you for the time. I love where baseball's at. It was such a joy to watch that World Series in particular, and it was a joy to have you on to discuss some of this stuff.
Thanks. Have a great day. Take care.
You too, brother. Thanks, man. David Sampson on the show, host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst, World Series champion. Hey, Ryan, can I give you – I'm going to do a total 180 here. We have not discussed this, but obviously there is a showdown right now between ESPN and YouTube TV. I pay for YouTube TV. That's how I get sports. And YouTube TV has blacked out ESPN because ESPN spent billions of dollars on rights, and they want to recoup that money by charging more carriage fees, and YouTube doesn't want to have to basically pass on the cost to us and spend the money. And can I give you my sort of take on this? I hate the term hot take, my hot take. I couldn't care less who wins this battle. It's like watching the billionaires argue with the millionaires when baseball locked down in the 90s. Don't care. Figure it out. Tell me where the games are, how much they cost, and I will decide whether I want to pay for it when the time comes. I don't need Pat McAfee admonishing the ESPN hosts who don't make what he makes and are forced to go out and put on YouTube that this is, you know, it's going to be a problem. I don't need some diatribe about how YouTube is a tech monopoly, they are, or ESPN is a sports monopoly, they are, and this side or that side is the problem. They're all the problem. It's all about money. But I couldn't care less. I want to watch the games. Couldn't care less who wins or loses. Just figure it out quickly, and then tell me where I have to go to pay for it, and I'll tell you whether I'm willing to pay the money.
I think that's very fair. I'm shocked it's lasted this long. That would really, thankfully, I'm not a YouTube TV subscriber, but...
Oh, you're not? Yeah, it's brutal.
I still have cable, but it's also, like, this is... It's going to happen at some point.
YouTube TV, it's coming.
It's going to be for, yeah, you know, the cable providers next, Sling, whatever other streaming service you have after YouTube TV or instead of YouTube TV. Like, it's going to just keep on happening slowly. It's scary. It's pretty annoying. Very annoying.
That reminds me, I need to go cancel my YouTube TV subscription until it's... Till ESPN's back. I mean, that's... No,
it's also
thanks.
Crazy to show how powerful sports is. Like, there's really no point in having a TV subscription
None.
For anything if there's no sports on it. Like, it's wild.
I mean, I'm past the World Series. There's no more tennis. There's no more golf. I mean, the NFL is tricky, but I can get a lot of those games on local television, on Paramount Plus, which is CBS, Amazon Now. I mean, it's... The TV bundle doesn't matter. That's why we haven't discussed it very much. I think it's a meaningless fight between two entities that want your money and are probably going to get it, but when they figure out where it's going to be, put all this stuff on ESPN's, you know, OTT and charge more for that, fine, I'll pay for that. I'm not paying for both.
That's what I think is happening here, but that's a different discussion for a different day, I'm sure.
I'm not paying for both. What is free, though? You know what's free? You know what we don't charge for? Do you know what's almost as good as YouTube TV having ESPN? Buy or sell. It's next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Nothing pisses me off more than like, oh, man, you a Barcelona fan? You a Cubs fan? Oh, you're a Bears fan? No, man, I just like the hat. Well, take it off and shut your mouth.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
So that's an aggressive one right there. Take it off and shut your mouth. You're with me, right? You shouldn't be wearing the hat of a team you don't root for because it matches your shoes or something. Or you like the way it brings out the color in your eyes or whatever the hell.
Agreed. Sports hats, sports logos are not fashion statements.
You would be shocked to hear that they don't make it easy to cancel YouTube TV.
Say it ain't so.
There's not an intuitive place to, you know, it's a bit of a... So while I investigate this moment in time, let's do buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Bill, looking back at the trade deadline, the Colts made the biggest splash as they landed Jets corner Sauce Gardner. Indy's pass defense has struggled mightily this season. They ranked 26th as they are allowing 245 passing yards per game. Buy or sell, you consider the Colts a Super Bowl contender after this move.
Buy.
Wow, Bill, what an answer. You know
sell.
What? I appreciate the confidence.
Sell. I
don't.
But I think I've been very clear. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it works. I hope there's a spark. I hope Daniel Jones stops being Daniel Jones like he was a couple nights ago and becomes, I don't know, Sam Darnold. Daniel knows is kind of what I think he's trending toward, though. As an oh knows.
Buy.
I hope you're wrong, but not good. Not good. On the flip side of that Colts trade, the Jets, they offloaded, obviously, their all-pro corner and also traded away their Pro Bowl defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams, cleaning house on Tuesday. They have now, because of those two trades, have accumulated, Bill, 5 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks over the next 2 drafts. Buy or sell, you trust the Jets to hit on these picks.
Man. Sell.
Sell.
Doesn't it also seem like perhaps this is somewhat of a vote of confidence to a degree in Aaron Glenn that we're not going to assess you any further? We've given up these guys. We'll help you build a young team. Your voice will be heard by non-veterans.
Absolutely. Especially as a defensive guy, you trade 2 pieces defensively that are still young enough to where you think, like, they're going to still be here for...
Right. That's a good point.
You know, the next 3-4 years when you try to turn it around.
It's a bizarre... buy or sell, you're excited for me that I just canceled YouTube TV.
Buy.
I, too, am excited.
Put the pressure on one by one. Brick by brick.
There's just no reason for me to have it. I only do this for sports.
But now, does that mean you're not going to be able to watch basically anything else that's not on ESPN?
So yeah, like that's
CBS, well, NBC, Fox.
CBS games are on Paramount Plus.
Okay. Fox is...
That's going to be tricky.
TV subscription based.
There's no doubt that I'm going to re-up this soon.
And like Saturday morning.
We'll see how far I can make it.
At least right now on Wednesday, you have put your foot down. Your voice has been heard, Bill. You let him know.
Thank you.
The Cincinnati Bengals, despite trading linebacker Logan Wilson yesterday, decide to hold on to big-time defensive end Trey Hendrickson at the trade deadline. Now, Hendrickson has 4 sacks so far through 7 games and will be a free agent after the season. The Bengals enter Week 10, Bill, with a 3-6 record. Buy or sell. Cincinnati made a mistake by not trading Trey Hendrickson.
Man, it's such a catch-22, right? Because what does that say to Joe Burrow? But I'll buy.
Buy.
Buy or sell, you think that they're going to pay Trey Hendrickson anyway at the end of the year.
Sell.
Right. And that's the thing.
And so you could, I don't know what you would have gotten. Like, you're not getting a first-round pick for a guy that's going to be
a free agent after the year. You're not.
Probably not getting a second-round pick. Probably not.
But you're...
It is tough.
I think you'd be surprised how much people will sometimes overpay for a shot. Because you get, if you get Hendrickson, you obviously get Hendrickson. A contender is going to go get him. And if you're the team that wants to sign him, you also have a half a season as a selling point. Hey, come be a part of this organization.
If you were the GM and someone offered you a third-round pick, are you taking that or are you going to keep him? And just hope
three,
that...
At 3-6, I'm going to buy. I'm going to take it.
Buy!
Okay. I'm assuming, obviously, a 2 or 1, same thing. You're all in on that.
A 2 is a sure thing, right? Like, I think it made me kind of pause on a 3. Yeah, but you sealed this contract of an exit and bad blood and frustrations earlier this season and before the season. So it's... Right, the time to lock in Trey Hendrickson was before. You didn't do it. So you thought, all right, we'll roll the dice and we'll try to win a Super Bowl this year. We'll be competitive, and then Burrow gets hurt. So you've just – this goes back to what we talked about in another context this week. You can't throw good money after bad, no matter how well-intentioned the original bet was.
That's a good point. Yesterday, one day after saying that nothing has changed in terms of the quarterback situation, who's going to start, who's going to be the backup – Jonathan Gannon, Cardinals head coach, said this about the quarterback situation. Take a listen.
As it relates to the quarterback in Seattle, Jacoby will start. And Kyler will keep working on his health bucket. I do like what the offense is doing right now. We've operated well. And we'll go from there.
Really quick, buy or sell before I get to the actual question. Buy or sell health bucket?
Health bucket, sell.
Sell.
Health bucket?
Yeah, I'm
there's a kid's book or a kid's thing where it's you gotta fill your friend's buckets. Don't empty them. So to be nice, not don't be mean. Fill their buckets. Buy or sell, you think he got it from there?
Buy.
Right? His young kids, bucket. Right? Maybe.
Buy or sell, I'm allowed to criticize people for wordplay like health buckets.
Buy.
Oh, I am.
Of course.
I throw a lot out there.
But most are not as bad as that.
Health bucket was pretty bad.
Just weird.
It was weird. Especially in the serious context of, the it's not his job right now. That's right. What he's saying.
Right. He's going to worry
about
it.
Hey, look, I'm benching him right now, but we've got health buckets. Like, what are you talking about, bro?
Well, that health bucket that I guess Kyler Murray is working on is his foot. As he's set to miss his fourth consecutive game, and it came out yesterday that the foot injury he's dealing with could keep him on the shelf for 4 to 8 weeks. So this is going to be obviously week number 4. Could be another month on top of that as he tries to come back from that injury. Buy or sell, Kyler Murray won't start another game for the Cardinals this season.
I'll sell. I think
sell.
Buy or sell, he's playing so well that Gannon has renamed him Kyler Don't Hurry.
Buy.
Take your time, Kyler. We'll be extra cautious.
Because it rhymes with Murray.
Hey.
Sell.
Wait,
what?
Explanation.
Why? You look confused.
Well, I was more trying to figure out the answer to that question than get the pun.
Got it.
Nothing I did. It was a good joke, like a good explanation.
I was talking to a buddy yesterday, and I was giving him a hard time. I was really busting his chops, and I kept explaining the joke, and it pissed him off, so I kept explaining the joke over and over again as I made fun of him. And he made the same point as you. And I will sell you and him.
Sell.
Sometimes it's fun to explain the joke.
You know who's not having a lot of fun right now?
You.
Who probably would not enjoy maybe jokes being made?
Oh, tell me.
Dabo
Sweeney. I was going to guess Dabo.
He is one angry man who was seen on the sideline on Saturday yelling at his players and really a show of emotion we haven't seen before. After the game, Bill, he was fined by the ACC $10,000 for criticizing the refs over what was a brutal pass interference call, but he did not stop there. Yesterday, he went back in on the refs, saying that officials need to be held accountable for calls they make, and they shouldn't be allowed to just hide and be not be criticized. Buy or sell? You agree with Dabo Sweeney?
I'm going to sell, and here's why.
Sell.
The guy who has told us that we're not allowed to criticize him is now telling him that the refs have to be open to criticism. physician, heal thyself.
That's fair. That's a good point.
He's not wrong in a vacuum, but he doesn't operate in that. He operates in a, how dare you question me? We're going to win it all this year. Oh, my God! You know, that's fast forward to that. Buy or sell, Dabble's become hard to root for.
Buy.
Yeah.
Buy or sell, Dabble was hard to root for even when he was winning.
I'll sell because I used to have him on the TV show and he was like charming. I think Dabo's one of those guys that's like, if you ever competed against someone, been friends with someone who when they're winning, they're the funniest, charmingest guy, and when they're losing, they're awful. And you're like, bro, what the hell? That's Dabo. I like Dabo when he's winning. A little arrogant but kind of funny. When he's losing, he's melting down, screaming at the refs, blaming everybody. I'll go somewhere else. I'll take my ball and go home. You can't come to my birthday party. Like, okay, man, calm down.
You think I'm bad now? Remember that one in 2015? You remember that one? Yeah. I won.
Buy or sell in your lifetime, hopefully when you were younger, hopefully it wasn't, you know, Mike Samper 3 weeks ago, someone actually said to you, if you do A, B, or C, you can't come to my birthday party.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's a buy for me. Definitely really? Got a few. You can't come to
buy.
My
birthday
party. What'd you do?
I don't remember. It was me.
Probably tried to fight him the day before.
I mean,
so can
just
I come
to,
over tomorrow?
Know,
no,
I think
you can't.
One time they wanted my Star Wars playing cards or something.
Damn.
If you don't give it to me, you can't have my birthday party. Okay, man. I don't like you anyway.
It's a win-win for me. I keep the card.
You're not getting no Luke Skywalker over here. I know you don't know what Star Wars is, and so you're sort of faking it right now.
I do know. I know too much. I know more than I want to.
You don't know. Not as much as you should. In fairness, they destroyed the Star Wars brand. You know what? We can agree. Buy or sell, Star Wars now sucks.
Buy.
We don't have to worry about the past.
Unless you're Dabo Sweeney. Then all you do is live in the past. But we're not Dabo, so.
Buy or sell, you'd want Dabo to coach Penn State.
Sell.
Wow, that was a quick sell.
I asked you this yesterday off the air, so I'll ask it on the air. Buy or sell, you still think Dabo Sweeney, if he goes to another school, can win big?
Buy.
Buy.
I mean, if he goes to Florida, or Sark goes to the NFL and he goes to Texas and then there's just a massive amount of money. The thing is, it would have to be a change in the power structure. Dabo can do whatever he wants at Clemson, which means he is allowed to just tell Clemson, I'm going to do it my way and keep losing. In a job like that, I'm sure there'd be conversations along the lines of, we're going to pay you $12 or $13 million a year, but we are going to use this pocket of money and we're going to go buy players. And if you want to pick who they are, great, but we're going to operate in the college football landscape the way that is required. And if he says no, he's not going to get that job. And if he says no enough, he's not going to get any job, which means eventually I think Dabo would say, all right, fine. I think it'll be easier for buy or sell, you agree with me, it'd be easier for him to change away from Clemson than at Clemson.
Buy.
That leads to my last question. I was going to say, do you think he's actually going to embrace those, like, you know, listen and be like, yeah, sure, you guys can do, like, is he going to give up power basically even though he's going to a new school? I don't know.
Let me answer your question this way. Let me ask myself a question and answer it. Buy or sell Dabo. It's in everybody's best interest that Dabo and Clemson have a divorce. Buy.
I think buy.
Sometimes
you like to cite the breakup all the time. I don't know why. It's like the one movie you've seen. You like to cite the breakup. I know why, because you sent me a scene, and I know why you like to cite the breakup. It was
it's a sad movie. I actually don't like it, but
sometimes breakups are required. And it's a bummer. This is one of those times for everybody.
What also makes a breakup important is if you realize what went wrong and fix it. Dabo doesn't. Maybe he can. He does not seem like the guy that's going to look inside and be like, you know what? I was wrong here, here, and here. I'm going to change for the better. I don't know.
Sometimes you need the heartache. The best thing that could happen to Dabo Sweeney is Clemson fire him, potentially.
That embarrassment really kind of, you know, humbles you. Interesting.
We've all seen the rom-coms other than you or the serious dramas where the husband is awful and finally the wife leaves him and he doesn't understand. He loves her and she's like, it's too late. And then he changes. I can't name a single example, but I'm sure they're out there.
Sounds like there's a vacuum that you can fill. If you want to become a screenwriter.
Catch me if you can. Maybe. Leo's dad gets left by the mom for the boss, I think.
sound confident.
You haven't seen Catch Me If You Can?
Doesn't sound like you've seen it either.
I've seen it.
You're guessing at the
plot. I'm not guessing. I'm doing false humility. I'm a movie memory machine. You've never seen Catch Me If You Can?
No.
You're the best, Sell.
Sell.
Let's finish here, Bill. In the first batch of the College Football Playoff Committee rankings, the SEC led the way. They had 9 teams ranked inside the top 25, followed by the Big Ten, who had 7. Now, go back to last year, the 12-team bracket, the Big Ten led the way. They had 4 teams in the final bracket. SEC had 3. Buy or sell, when it's all said and done, the Big Ten will have more teams in the College Football Playoff than the SEC.
I have to look at this guy. It's a sell.
Sell.
They're going to try to force Notre Dame in, Nepo Dame, like we talked about, and they're going to get as many SEC schools in as they can. You think Iowa's going to get some extra love if they, you know? No.
Hey, they surprised a lot of people coming in at number 20.
I know.
Look at the Hawkeyes, number Let's next go. To the name.
Let's go, Kirk Ferentz.
Hosting Oregon this week. Upset alert.
They're not. Buy or sell, you agree with me. They're not beating Oregon.
Buy.
They're Iowa. They don't win those games.
If they score more than 14 points, probably could be a win there.
Buy or sell, if they beat Oregon, they will make the College Football Playoff.
Buy.
Okay.
Going to have to win out, but now Nebraska does not have Dylan Raiola. That's true. Beat Oregon. Like, I don't like if even if it was in the Big Ten title against Ohio State, I think they
then you get in. Yeah. You should get in.
Should get
but
in.
But I think that they would be left out for a crappy Notre Dame team. Crappy's not the right call.
Just remember, Alabama last year was left out for SMU. Maybe Iowa can get in and Texas will be out. How about that? How about Iowa's in?
No offense over Arch Manning, which is often no offense. So it's very similar.
Exactly right. Same thing.
Very similar trade. Is that it? Is all we're doing? You've not seen Catch Me If You Can. Buy or sell, you've seen more than 2 Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
Oh.
I mean, dude.
I've seen the Titanic. Bro.
It's not the Titanic. It's Titanic.
I've seen Titanic.
What's your favorite movie? A Godfather. There's no one there.
What else has he been in?
Everything. He's been in all the
things. I've seen... okay, yeah, no, that's a buy.
Buy!
I've seen Great Gatsby. Too. Yeah.
I've seen Wolf of Wall Street. What's the eye for Great Gatsby? It's a good movie.
I've never seen it. Have you seen The Aviator?
You've never seen The Great Gatsby, huh? Wow.
I read the book, movies, Ryan. Huh? It's one of my favorite books of all.
I've read the book and I've watched the movie.
You
How about
didn't
that?
Read the book.
We read it in school. We read it, The Green Light at the end of the dock. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm more literary, than you, some people are saying.
Literary hickey, we all say. All right, Professor. We'll come back and talk literature and maybe some football after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. It was just 6 games, but the Sixers and Bulls, the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and they met last night in Chicago.
Near the midcourt stripe, off to the left, checked by Oubre. Under 10 seconds remaining in the game. Giddy drives left, hangs in the air, gives left corner, boots for 3. Bullseye! Bullseye! Bulls take the lead! 3.2 seconds remaining, fourth quarter, and the Bulls have their first lead of the night.
Chuck Swirsky on Bulls Radio. Nikola Vucevic putting the Bulls in front after trailing by 24 late in the second quarter. They're alone atop the conference this morning at 6-1 following this 113-111 win over Philly. Josh Giddey posting 29 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists, becoming the first Bull with consecutive triple-doubles since Michael Jordan in 1989. Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, and Alabama top the initial CFP rankings, and the Braves expected to exercise their $18 million option on lefty starter Chris Sale. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you. This Thursday night football preview is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood, Square. Thursday night football this week features an AFC West showdown as the 7-2 Broncos host the 2-6 Raiders. Denver is one of 2 teams in the NFL that's undefeated at home as they look to move to 5-0 and enter Week 10 as 9.5-point favorites. They're good. They're good on paper. I actually buy the Patriots more than I buy the Broncos. How's that? How's that for crazy talk?
Can we increase the crazy talk? Can I put you on the spot? Real quick trivia?
Yes.
You just read Broncos, one of two teams that are undefeated at home. Who's the other?
Colts.
Boom. Look at you.
Yeah.
NFL brainiac.
I'm bad at trivia, too. We could do Trivial Pursuit, and they could say, what is your name? And I would freak out and go Philbiter. It's weird. Like doing a radio show, talking to people, totally fine. When it becomes trivia, I can't do it. It's a strange thing. You know?
Say a word.
Right. Debating Andy Roddick on a Fox Sports Live set 10 years ago, Andy's toast. Doing Trivial Pursuit with Andy Roddick, which I've never done because Andy wouldn't spend time with me, I'm toast. All right. Let's go to Lexington, Kentucky. Chris is on the line. Chris, what up, pal? You're back on Rider Than You.
Billy, what's going on, man? Awesome show, as always. Hey, listen, bud. I think I've been calling your show long enough. You know I'm a Catholic kid from Pittsburgh. My two football allegiances, my beloved Steelers, and my Fighting Irish. And what you started the show with, and I laid out because I wanted to hear your take. Bill, I 100% agree with you. And here's why. And here's why I've been bringing this up for several years now. We have got to join a conference because we open ourselves up to this. We have no one to blame. And I understood the resistance and the downright to me stubbornness to want to keep these rivalry games from 70 years ago against the service academies and SC. I get it. But now what it's come down to, Bill, you know as well as I do, we don't beat Texas A&M last year. Even with that embarrassing loss, going 11-1, we don't make the playoffs. And when that schedule came out this year, here's what someone like me, here's what we are left to do. I look, okay, what games do we have a chance to impress the committee? Okay, Texas A&M, Miami. Didn't like the fact they were back-to-back. When we lost those, I shook my head. And I'll be honest with you, when I saw that come out last night, I don't want to say I was shocked, but I was certainly surprised, Bill, because I did not think that we would be in, especially at 10. And when Miami is 8 spots behind us, that's ridiculous. It is time for us to join a conference. I mean, can you see if we were in the Big Ten, and then we would be forced to earn it, Bill. You said it. You're right. We'd be forced to play the Ohio States, the Penn States, and the Michigans. You know, and furthermore, it would allow us to have a fallback plan because if something like happened this year, okay, now you see what's in front of you. You got to get to that conference title game and win and earn it. And I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it's getting frustrating as a Notre Dame fan with our refusal to even consider joining a conference.
Dude, I agree. Let me, Chris, great call. I agree they should go in. But the thing about Nepo kids and Nepo Dame is that they rarely give away their advantage. Now, one of my closest friends in the business he's chosen, I found out years later, had a dad who was one of the most powerful people in the business. Never brought it up, never worked for that guy's company. And I asked him, why didn't she use it? And he goes, I just didn't want to be that guy. That's rare. That would be the equivalent of Nepo Dame going to the Big Ten. Thing is, they don't need to get into the college football playoff. They've been gifted a college football playoff appearance by being put 10th and being put that far ahead of Miami. All they have to do is beat Navy, beat Pitt. I know Pitt's kind of a program, but not really. Beat Syracuse, beat Stanford. And if you're the 10th best team in America, in theory, that should be very, very doable. I mean, all right, they lost to Miami. It's a close game, but it's the first game of the year. They lost. They lost to A&M by a point. That's a really good loss at this point. A&M obviously has turned out to be a very good program. Other than that, I mean, USC, is that a good program? I guess. What are they, 19 right now, Ryan? I guess they're a good program. Beat Nebraska. Shouldn't have beat Nebraska. Injury helped, and the fact Nebraska literally has not beaten a ranked team in a very long time helped. Chris, I think Notre Dame should be from a what's right perspective, but they're Nepo Dame because they're not doing what's right. They don't have to do what's right. They're not forced to earn it. If Iowa had this schedule, Ryan, if the University of Iowa had lost to Miami and lost to A&M and then beaten Purdue, which, you know, beaten Boise State, beaten NC State, got barely by USC, beat Boston College. Iowa's not 10th in the country. And that is true for almost every Power 5 program that isn't one of the elites. And give me a break. You think Vandy gets the benefit of the doubt before this season? If this is the schedule that they have? You think Miami is 8 spots behind the Hawkeyes or Vanderbilt? No, man. If it was UCLA even? No. So I hear you, Chris. They should go in the Big Ten. I love them in the Big Ten, but they haven't been incentivized to do that. That's why they're Nepo Dame. They're like, it doesn't matter. Daddy will take care of me. Daddy Warbucks on the old committee. Why would you give it up, Ryan? If you're rewarded for mediocrity strong, for somewhere between mediocrity and excellence. When the standard, you can pick your schedule, you can make it as easy as you want. I don't think Notre Dame does that well in the Big Ten. I don't. I know you're a former Notre Dame fan, you probably is a secret Notre Dame fan, but I don't think they do that well.
I think they're a pretty good team. I think they would, I mean, would they finish first? No, probably not.
Iowa takes them down. Boom.
Every year.
They could become Penn State. They could become a school that should be great and can't handle the pressure of week in, week out expectations against real competition.
I mean, to their credit, they were in the national title game last year. We're not talking about a team that's, you know, they beat Georgia. They beat Penn State.
Yeah, they get a little gift. They're like the Patriots of years past. You don't have to play anybody, but still get in the playoffs. It helps. I went anti-Notre Dame pretty aggressively here. Nepo Dame. You're still a Notre Dame fan. Look at you. Already selling out Penn State.
I agree with you. They should. I mean, I think they're a good team. I think they will be, and I think they should be.
I think that they are a good team. I do not think that they're an outstanding team, and I think the standards applied to them are not the same as the standards applied to other programs. And if you're Miami, it's what are we doing here? You think they're a better team than Texas? I think Texas is a higher ceiling.
I think they're a better team than Texas.
Nobody's better than Ryan Hickey. Look at that. Let's close it there. Let's close with a lie. I'm Bill Ryder, a nice lie. Thanks for hanging out. See you tomorrow on Ryder Than You.